Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. If you grew up in the Milwaukee area a few decades ago, you knew it as the Witch's House. Tucked down a dead-end road in Fox Point, the wild rumors were put to rest 10 or 15 years ago as more became known about the house's inhabitant, artist Mary Knoll. The house sits behind a forest of trees and concrete sculptures on one side and Lake Michigan on the other. It's nothing like anything else on the block or really in the area. And therein lies the rub. It's become a de facto tourist attraction, and the neighbors say they're tired of the street's guests at all hours of the day and night. They worry what would happen if the house was turned into a museum, which Knoll's fans would like to see. But that's now a moot point because Sheboygan's John Michael Kohler Art Museum is moving the entire thing somewhere about 50 miles away. Matthew Redden writes about the saga of the house in the August issue of Milwaukee Magazine, and he talked with Dan Harmon about the house's intriguing history.
Well, I guess, that's kind of how it comes first to everyone's mind, even the people who know it as a piece of art. They kind of say, oh, this used to be the witch's house, and now it's, as things evolve, it's kind of become this vernacular art. It's a word that's used a lot. An artist environment is another one. So even in the minds of those people who are looking at it as a piece of art, it's still kind of very much that's the way it's looked at.
At what point did this become a story worthy of a magazine? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems, when did it transition from her just being an enigma or no one knowing anything about her
right.
to being art that's argued over, sought after, a big neighborhood conflict?
Mm-hmm. I think it is that conflict that made it kind of noteworthy. I mean, it's definitely an interesting piece in and of itself, especially with it being one of the only works of outsider art or vernacular art done by a woman. But I think the thing that made it kind of this magazine-worthy piece, the fact that there was such a strong reaction to it when they wanted to build it into a museum. Because people I spoke to in the neighborhood didn't seem to care whether it was there or not as much as they did. They didn't want it to be a museum. They were very, very opinionated about that specifically. So I think it's the fight that really kind of made it into this larger story.
And what's in the media now is that they're going to move the house, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The Kohler Museum in Sheboygan, right? Okay. They're going to physically move the house somehow mm-hmm. to 50 miles away, right?
Right.
And that's creating a whole other level of controversy, mm-hmm. right?
Right, because, I mean, it's obviously a huge undertaking. It doesn't seem like something they've done quite in the same way before. They've moved other exhibits from other areas but not reassembled them then in a similar situation. So it's a big undertaking, yeah.
And a whole different type of controversy, mm-hmm. those that say that it should stay where it is because that's part of the history
right.
of the whole thing, right?
Yeah, and I know they want to put it somewhere on the lake, but, it's an art that is defined by its environment. So it's kind of very controversial whether you can take something out of its natural physical environment and rebuild it and still have that same, element of artist, magistry, all that stuff.
Now, what was the neighborhood opposition just because of traffic?
Traffic is the main concern, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I spoke to kind of was concerned about traffic. There's already neighborhood concerns about people coming up to the lake in general because it's one of the few places you can get access to the lake. There were, I think, in the past some issues with shuttles coming up, tour buses. And so I think that kind of just gave them a bad impression of it from the beginning.
And this is something the Kohler Museum said that they've gone back and forth on. And
mm-hmm.
they said, according to your article, that they've exhausted all options
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah. At this point, it seems like their only other option would have been to turn it into a private residence again, which is what they did at the beginning of the process after the first set of opposition. They, had someone move in. They had them take care of the house, and then the house just kind of sat empty and not being open to the public. But as I talk about in the story, the financial costs of doing that at this point had kind of become insurmountable.
Now, I've been to museums where mm-hmm. you don't actually drive up to it and park. You actually have to park your car, I think it was like a mile away, and then
right.
you're shuttled in a tiny little shuttle to the mm-hmm. museum. Was that something looked at? I mean, that seems to me like if they wanted to keep it as a museum, that would be the least.
Yeah, that was one thing they considered. There was a fundraiser where they basically did just that. They had people over at a house that was further away from the Mary Knoll home, and then they shuttled people in to visit the site. But that kind of caused the same set of problems with the neighbors. That for them, that wasn't enough of a concession to make. In the most recent plans, they did have a parking lot built in. The property is large enough that they could have built a modest parking lot for a tour bus or a single car. So that would have reduced the traffic. But again, at that point, the neighbors were so, entrenched against this plan that it wasn't a concession that they were able to make.
What do you know about where it's going to be moved? I mean, is this a done deal or is there
a done deal, to my understanding. I don't know if they have any plans as to yet where they're going to move it. I know it's going to be in the Sheboygan, Kohler area on the lake. But to my understanding, there isn't a place in mind yet. At this point, it seems like the Kohler's main concern is, cataloging what's left, doing restorations, looking at the physical items because some of them, they're not made to be moved. They're made to stay there. So, I mean, just figuring out the logistics of getting them from one place to the other, I think, is their primary concern.
And for those that aren't familiar with the house, I mean, some of the art is the house itself, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's, art built into the house. There's carvings on the walls. There's a little doormat that has the word boo written on it. You know, all of that stuff is part of the artist's environment. All of it has to get cataloged and moved independently. So it's just a very huge undertaking.
What did you find out in your research about, has this been done before successfully moving a house that's considered art?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a thing that's usually done very often. You know, like I said, the Kohler has moved artist environments before, but they usually don't move them with the intent of reestablishing them in the way that I think they plan to with the Knoll House. They've got extensive archives and they've got them all cataloged away and they can reset them in their gallery. They just reset one called the Healing Machine a couple years ago, which was normally a freestanding structure similar to the Mary Knoll House. And instead of, recrafting it somewhere in Sheboygan, they have it in their archives. They can bring it up, present it in their galleries, and then, in that sense, recreate it.
And I've actually been to a couple of, I guess they would be considered living museums or sculptors that actually have sculptures on their properties and you can go visit. And you did mention something in the article about something like that.
Right. They do have a couple of those. Those are situations where they are able to preserve it intact or in situ. The one that's up in Sheboygan I went to is it's a path and it has these sculptures along it. And they were able to preserve that where it was. Even though it was in the middle of a residential community, it wasn't quite the same, neighborhood opposition, social class issues as existed here on Beach Drive.
How unique is that? That it is kind of, in a way, a class issue and quality of life issue for the neighborhood?
Or right.
This is basically a dead-end road. And you can't blame people for wanting to keep their tranquility, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously an issue there that is different than a lot of the other things the Kohlers had to deal with. In talking to people, I did, learn of other places where that was the case, and they came to different agreements. There's one that's out in, I believe, Maine where, it's a museum now, but there's still a lot of opposition with the neighbors about who can show up, when can they show up. The Chipstone Foundation kind of had to deal with some of the same issues when it was started up because it's in another kind of high-class area. And, that creates its own problems because the people who live in neighborhoods that are more affluent have more resources at their disposal. One of the main people in opposition to this is a retired lawyer who is now on the municipal board. I mean, that's something that a lot of neighborhoods don't have, to counter that sort of thing.
Something that you don't really quite say in the article, but I'm going to choose to read between the lines. But here, did Kohler, do you think, mishandle this? I mean, in a way, it's a kind of an unprecedented situation. Mm-hmm. Is there something that they could have done differently or anyone else could have done differently to make this a better situation?
I think one of the things I realized researching the article is that obviously in hindsight, there's stuff that could have been done differently. But I'm not sure also in hindsight that there was much that could be done to resolve the situation. I mean, from the very beginning, the neighborhood was against it being turned into a museum. That position didn't really change. Whether or not you think that position is valid or whether that should outweigh the artistic merits of it, the way the municipal system is set up in Fox Point kind of stacks the deck in the favor of the residents versus the Kohler. So, I mean, there's probably things that I think the Kohler Center could have done differently to preserve the art itself. If they just decided to move it, say, 10 years ago instead of waiting, it wouldn't have, been affected by the environments quite as much. But also 10 years ago, I don't think they really thought that it was going to be an issue. I think they kind of thought, we'll lay low, we'll let it blow over, new people will move in, they'll understand, It wasn't a bad choice to make. It just didn't turn out for the best.
Now, when did Mary Knoll pass away?
2001.
Did she make her wishes known?
It kind of depends on who you ask. I mean, she was kind of a very private woman. She had very complex opinions. You ask some people and they say that, she went to these galleries of her jewelry and she really liked that people were able to see it. Then you talk to other people who say that she was a very private woman. She didn't want people coming in and looking at all her things. So, I mean, it's kind of a situation where it's almost too bad that she's not around to give her opinion because now people are just forced to extrapolate based on what they knew of her and how they understood her wishes.
Yeah, you said that she encountered an attorney at one point and that didn't go so well.
It did not go well, no. Yeah, and it was one of those situations where I was talking to Ruth Kohler about it, and she said that was almost kind of the end of it, they didn't talk for a while, and it was just kind of through luck that, you know, negotiations and talking to some of Mary's friends that they were able to renegotiate again.
Is there at least consensus that it's a good thing that it's going to be saved, even if not in the original location?
Yeah, I think that's how the broader consensus is forming now, especially since they had the forum at the Art Museum and Ruth Kohler came and spoke. I was actually personally a little surprised that it was taken so well, but I think part of it for most of the people who weren't involved in the process was just the surprise of discovering that, you know, all of this had been going on behind the scenes. And just to hear Ruth Kohler explain the situation, I think, was very helpful for a lot of people.
What's going to be done with the land?
The plan, as far as I know, is that the land will be sold as a way to fund the move. So, you know, in 5-10 years, there could be a regular house on Beach Drive where Mary Knoll's house used to be.
Will that stop people from driving by and just looking at the old site then? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out.
Well, what's next for the whole process then?
The process now is just going to be for the Kohler Center to, you know, figure out, you know, the best way to move it, the financial costs of that, you know, cataloging it, make sure it's all done correctly. And it doesn't sound like they have a timeline in place for that.
And there's probably no way of getting around disassembling the house. I don't think they're going to be able to do up that road.
They were considering at one point trying to put it on a boat and taking it up the lake, but it just wasn't possible with the way the shoreline is constructed over there. And then they probably could have just picked up the house and floated it, you know, straight north. But yeah, it seems like they're going to have to deconstruct the house, rebuild it, possibly using some materials that were not in the original construction. Just because, I mean, the house is about 100 years old now. You know, it was built when Mary was a child, and, you know, it's been a long time since then.
And I think one of the things you said that pushed them into this decision was the flood damage that wasn't too long ago. Did that damage any art? I mean, was there stuff in the basement that got flooded and destroyed?
There was stuff in the basement that got damaged. I don't think there was any large-scale destruction. I think a lot of the art that was in the basement was in storage, so it kind of had a little bit of safety in that sense. And it didn't come up into the first floor of the house, which would have very much wreaked some damage on, you know, the carpeting, the furniture, all of that. So that was actually kind of a stroke of luck, as it turned out.
Well, Matthew Redden, thank you for writing this article. It was interesting to read something we've all known about for quite a while.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you.
Writer Matthew Redden's article on the Mary Knoll House is in the August issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Redden is assistant editor at the Wisconsin Gazette. He spoke with Dan Harmon, and there's a link to the article from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Another break now, and then the latest installment in our series, Listening to Mitchell. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.